You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio. Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about generational personality disorder, personality tension throughout the ages.
Ooh.
What does that mean?
What does that mean, disorder?
Disorder. Well, actually, we're joking a little bit. It has to do with that the different generations sometimes have a hard time dealing with each other because they think they're so different, or they place stereotypes upon each other according to behavioral traits that they expect or they think they see. But part of that is when you have a stereotype, you then have an internal bias to expect to see a certain behavior, and voila, then you see a behavior and you go, aha, I was right. But you ignore all the other behavior that doesn't fit that bias.
Yeah, maybe we can talk about we versus they.
We, they do this, they do that. But we, and we want to look at two things, or a couple of things, but one is generational differences, personality differences, how people act, is it a real thing? Is it actually that baby boomers and Gen X and Gen Z and Alpha and the, what's the other one called? The builders, are they all different? Are they all different? So we're going to define who they are, what they are, and we're going to kind of give a little bit of background and maybe stereotypes. Also, where do they come from? What's their history? What did they live as they grew up? And does that contribute to the experience that give them each a unique perspective that may be very valuable when you figure out how to communicate and how to talk to each other and how to work together?
Yeah, I guess that the interesting point today in the show is how this kind of generation fixing in the society work.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what am I? Like, I'm looking at this sheet. This is from McCrindle. He did a lot of research with others on generations, and he has a chart called Generations Defined. We're going to use a little bit of his work and others as we discuss things today. But he talks about the builders, which are from 1925 to 1945, the baby boomers, Gen X, Generation Y, Gen Z, and then in new research presents Alpha, the mm-hmm. Alpha, 2010, 2014, until today, which really haven't entered the workforce. So we'll talk about them, but if they're in your workforce, they're child labor, and they probably shouldn't be there.
Okay, maybe it's good that people know what is the age or the year between.
I will. That's our next slide, but okay. I'm not going there yet because I wanted to explain something. We are. Oh, that's why I got the chart up. I am considered right on the cusp of baby boomer and Gen X, which from there you can probably tell my age, but I'm right there at that middle part. And part of the stereotype of my generation is that we don't know technology. But yet, I was brought up in the infancy of computer, and somebody maybe a few years older than I was missed that in school. But I was brought up right in technology, and so my life has been around technology. It's been in building computers and electronics, and as you know now, I'm a gadget freak. So individually, we're all different. We may have a stereotype associated with us or the people who grew up with us, but we can be uniquely different.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So let's go into this first slide here. Here are the generations. The greatest generation, because they're the fantastic people, the greatest, they kind of helped create the foundation of the country as it is today, was born in 1901 to 1924. It's a range, and why these ranges are about 20, 25 years is typically that is a 20-year time span where people go from, right, being a baby to being old enough to have kids. Mm-hmm. So it's like every 20, 25 years, there's another
generation.
Generation. What is interesting is that in many generations, it was about 20 years before people started having children. And then more recently, the age went from the average of 25 years before having children to 31.2, something like that. Did you know that?
No, that's interesting. Yeah.
So people are waiting a little bit later in life to have kids, or maybe what it is happening is it's actually spreading out. So some are still having children at 20, 21, but then others are waiting till 30, 35 years old to have children, which is now spreading out these generations. So instead of being 20-year, 25-year generations, they may start to become 30-year generations. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then all those celebrities having children in their 70s, oh, that's going to mess everything up.
You see the guy, what is it? They have 80 and have all their child.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So we're going to have like Generation Hollywood or something. Yeah, it's going to be Generation H. When your parents are 3-4 generations removed from you and you're born in Hollywood and you've got lots of money, that's going to really mess up a generation. Maybe. Maybe they'll be the greatest of all time generations.
Yeah.
Or they'll make films about themselves and how they're the best. What do you think?
Perfect, yeah.
Okay, let's go back to this. So like number two here, the silent generation. Oh, sorry. The silent generation, born in 1925 to 1945. In 1940s, I guess, was where wars were starting to happen there. Baby boomers, actually there are other wars in there we'll talk about. Baby boomer, 1946 to 1964. Generation X was born between 1965 and 1979. That's a 24-year span. Then millennials were born in 1980 to 1994. Generation Z, born in 1995 to 2012. Alpha, born in 2013 to 2025. Well, they're not yet born, some of those alphas, I guess, huh?
It's in process.
So what's interesting about this whole thing or concept here is that these are at least how the generations are defined. There are certain stereotypes about the groups in those generations. There is overlap in those generations, and there's not a complete agreement that where one starts and where one ends is really the time frame. But this is just, and again, this is just categorizing. So we can talk about people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, some way to see, I explained to you that the, how in one moment of the society, somebody born and how it's impact to the society.
How the society impacts them too. So exactly. How they impact the society and how society impacts them based upon the technology, the communication, socially acceptable behavior. Things change over time, and when you're born in a certain group, how you interact, you know, whether you're into, you know, we're really into team sports, we're really into national pride, we're really into freedom of expression, we're really into that those things move back and forth, and in those varying manners change how people are and act. Let's go on with this. So we talked about the greatest, the silent baby boomers, Generation X, millennials, Z, your X?
Yeah.
Well, fine. I have a couple of X's, so now you're Gen X? Oh no, I have another X. Let's see what's next on our list here. So the company that I grabbed a few of the infographics from in order for us to study up on, one of them was a company called McCrindle Research, Mark McCrindle. This is a shout out to him and his group, as well as the other people that he's worked with. They've done a great job in focusing on this. They talk about the background of people. He's out of Australia. So some of the information we had a look at is how do we apply that to, for us, the United States? But you can apply this anywhere. It's just we're grouping things together. So in looking at some of the research he looked at for builders, baby boomers, Gen X, Gen Y, Generation Z, Gen Alpha, there are certain things that fall into each of those groups that create categories of differences. For instance, one could be considered social markers. For instance, let's see if we can take a look at this. These are things that have happened in their lifetime that impacted them. And I wish I had the printout of this, would make it a little bit easier to look at. But in any case, there is like World War II happened for the builders. Not, this isn't the greatest generation. We're into the builders being those 1925, 1945, who today would be in their 80s. These are people that are potentially out of the workforce, mm-hmm. right? And there are very few of them left. It's slowing down the amount that are there.
The COVID take out many these guys.
That could be. So the other generation there, the greatest of all time, seems to be out of the running for not only not many left, that would be very few left, mm-hmm. but even the builders, very few are then in the workforce. But in any case, they went through World War II. You know, so they have a unique experience of living through that war. Baby boomers, my age, well, kind of, had a different set of things that have gone on. So for them, the moon landing, oh, that's right. The moon landing happened when the baby boomers, many of them were in school. So remembering watching the moon landing on TV when I was a kid in school. So that was a unique experience. You know, we go from a earthbound culture to, oh, we can explore space. And then the great speeches that were given about going to the moon and not what you can have the country do for you, but what you can do for the country. You know, these are iconic moments in our lifetime. What else do we have there? So that was baby boomers. So Gen X had stuff like the stock market crash of, what was that, 1987 I'm looking at there. So that was a big crash. And so they experienced that. And some of these are worldwide phenomena. So these things didn't just happen in the US, but these were things that impacted the world. So that was their big item. Then Generation Y, September 11th, 2001, was something they experienced. They didn't experience the other worldwide problems or situations. But September 11th, 2001, impacted Generation Y. Generation Y, again, being the 1980-1994. In Generation Z, the GFC, the Great Financial Crisis. So 2008, I believe that's when the market crashed again, right? The financial crisis. Housing market had a major problem. People were laid off. I know people who lost their job. But that was something that around the world, not only here in the United States, but Australia and other countries. When one economy is affected that much, the others are as well.
Have impact.
Yeah. We're all tied together through the International Money Fund and other things. And then finally, Generation Alpha, which is not in the workforce yet, and we've experienced these same things, but their biggest experience has been COVID.
Yeah.
COVID-19. So again, all the other generations experienced all these, but the newer generations didn't experience the ones in the past. And those are things that have maybe contoured and tailored how we act, how we perceive things, how we're connected or not connected. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I remember, this is a show coming up after September 11th or 9/11. And I remember the day after 9/11, back in 2001, where on the 12th, everybody was flying American flags, driving around, waving at each other. There was this this connection to people you didn't even know. It was something so tragic and dramatic like that could connect people. And for a generation that may not have had that type of experience, or going back further, if you hadn't been in a world war, you hadn't had maybe the fear, the sadness, the potential for loss, where when you get back together as a community, it builds a tight network of people. And instead of fighting with each other, you at least come together for a little while.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's when we have a common enemy, whatever that is.
People is
right.
Together.
COVID has done that too. COVID was a common enemy for people. So that was a similar
moment
in time.
Society. Yeah.
When we come back, we're going to talk about more differences that the different generations experience. And then we're going to talk about some of the stereotypes of those generations and to see if they're actually real and whether they're not. Maybe there's some strengths because of the differences, strengths and differences.
Yeah, and also how we can learn to handle that.
We will look when we come back on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
We're here at Inglenook at Francis Ford Coppola's new winery. Well, they've had it for a few years, but this is his library, books that he has read over the years that have accumulated in his knowledge and his ability to come up with amazing storylines, beautiful video edits, creativity of films unlike anyone else. Let's take a look at one of the books in his library. Here we have 90 Day Soulmate, How to Find Your Perfect Match in 90 Days by Lizette Guevara and James Gulnick, actually Jim Gulnick.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Day Baby Boomer with Gen X star Lizette.
And Baby Boom Jim.
Somewhere like that, who knows? In any case, we were talking about the different generations and what they experience. Let's talk about a couple of different things. We're going to talk about automobiles. We're going to talk about maybe pastimes or fads. And we're going to talk about music, because these are entertainment and things that impact and affect groups.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about vehicles, first of all. This I found kind of interesting, because if you go back to the builders, and that goes to prior to baby boomers, these are the eldest people in our society today, mostly. The Model T was actually around back then. They experienced the Model T, the first mass-produced cars in the United States. That was, you know, technology. They had to trade in the horse for four wheels,
yeah,
if they could. So they experienced that, and that had to be a big change. Then you look at baby boomers and some of the big things baby boomers. I remember the Ford Mustang was an iconic car, maybe the Chevy Camaro later on, but the Ford Mustang was a big U.S. car that a lot of people looked at. You look at Generation X, and I'm hearing that the Chevy, not the Chevy Camaro, but the Chevy SS, the cars with power came out for a little while. Then Generation Y, the Toyota Prius was the Generation Y's. So they saw that car being developed. What else do we have there? This was interesting. Generation Z, Tesla. Tesla became the big, you know, new thing. So as far as technology, cars, the progress of how cars have changed over time. And then finally, today with Generation Alpha, autonomous vehicles. So cars that drive themselves and you just sit in. And I've spoken to people that they don't want to get their driver's license. They'll take an Uber, or they'll wait until, they'll take a train, they'll take an Uber, or they'll try to wait until self-driving cars are available.
Yeah.
Which as an elder, I can't understand not having the freedom to just get in and go where you want.
Different society.
It's different. And they may not understand why I want to affect the greenhouse gases that much by driving my fossil fuel car or even my electric car. You know, why would you want to do that? Why do you want to own it also? Like, why do you want to own things?
I like this question for yourself.
Stay tuned on the end of 90 Day Soulmate. We'll cut this part. No, we never cut any parts. What's next? How about things that were different? And here's one. So we're going to talk about activities that people did. Or this isn't transportation, but roller skates. Roller skates were really big for the builders. So that was like the thing to do. Roller skates came out, wheels on top of shoes, not on top, underneath. Mm-hmm. On top, it'd be kind of hard to roller skate.
Okay, but how these changes impact the emotion and communication in the society?
Well, here I'm going to do this. So it would be, so roller skates, now it's an outdoor activity. It's an activity where you can do with friends. It takes a physical amount of agility, balance, and something where you're out in the environment. Or maybe now you're going to a roller rink. That's this place for people to gather. And let's continue on. So then the baby boomers, the Frisbee became big. So when we were kids, the Frisbee, everyone played Frisbee. And so that was outdoor, you're playing the Frisbee. It's a very simple thing. You're throwing it, and they were all over the place. They had Frisbee tournaments. They had, you know, people doing trick throws with Frisbees, all that. Mm-hmm. Next, do you remember the Rubik's Cube?
Of course, I have one.
So everyone had one, mm-hmm. or at least a lot of people did, but what was different about that?
It's just yourself, you know, play with somebody, so you have more independent game for yourself.
Yeah. So it's the type of game impacted how it was played, impacted your interaction with other people. Mm-hmm. So the Rubik's Cube. Then Generation Y, the BMX bike, those little bikes with the nubby tires and kids jumping and doing stuff and riding through yards. And
that again, right? Go back to physical effort versus the Rubik's Cube, right? More mental. Yeah.
So again, a little bit more physical effort. After that, the Generation Z had the scooter, you know, the little scooter, the folding scooter, the portable scooter. People would carry them with them, open them up and go places. We see those in airports today, mm-hmm. you know, where they have kids are using them, but that came around for that. And then finally now, the little fidget gadgets, those little things where people spin, you've sent spinners. You've seen these things where someone has a little bit of anxiety, so they have a spinner and it gives them something to physically do while they're in class. So that was the iconic thing of Alpha, Generation Alpha. But that's what they saw developed. Other generations use it.
Okay.
But the point is that this is now, and a lot of people use it, was it something needed and developed because of that? And is there something else going on where now something like that was helpful to people, you know, to reduce anxiety? And we get into music, or how people listened to music. Not the boomers, but the builders were listening to records. So the only way they would be able to play a record is, you know, the vinyl, put a needle in and let it go. And it was pre-printed vinyl. It was very physically involved. You know, you had to take care of the record. You had to clean it. You had to put a new needle in. That's what I heard. After that, the baby boomers had the cassette tapes. And cassette tapes, I remember, you know, you see... and you remember, if you were around then, you remember rewinding cassette tapes with a pencil because sometimes they'd get unwound and but it gave you the freedom of recording what you wanted to record. So you had these recorders that were mostly mono, right? They weren't even stereo, and you just hit record and you could create your own personal tape. There's a lot of, I can do this for myself, I can do this. After that, the nice thing about the cassette tape was the Walkman. You could wear, I remember in high school having that tape player and those little headsets, and you go to a track meet and you'd be listening to something, and you could share tapes with friends, but it was your portable music. You could now take your music with you, which you couldn't do with a record player. The iPod came out afterwards, so again, portable music. Now moving into more of a digital age, right? Because a lot of that stuff was put on MP3s and put on there. Then we had Spotify, so you didn't even need to do anything yourself. You could just create your unique playlist. I guess you could do a playlist, but you could pick your own stations you wanted to listen to on Spotify. And then today, what's that last one there? Smart speakers, where you take your phone and you just say, what do you want to play on your smart speaker, and you let it play. So those things are just different ways we interact with the media, with music, with entertainment. And they have, where, you know, as we said, you could create tapes or make your own tapes, so you have involvement, all the way to you don't even have to do that. You can just pick something and play it on the radio. Now, all those things are little inputs into things that change our personality. And I know each of these things individually may not play a big or important role, but altogether, they can provide a little bit of difference. For instance, for the older person who never had remote speakers, when they start seeing that stuff, it could be like, oh, this is, I don't want to do this. I see a big resurgence of records now, too. You see people buying record players, even younger people. They like the records because I think there's a uniqueness to them.
Yeah.
We can go into then leadership styles that these different groups like. For instance, and I'm going to go right to the boomers because we're not going to talk about the builders being in there. But the leaderships were very much directing. The leadership style for the boomers that they respect were leaders that directed people to do stuff. Generation X was more of a coordinating, where the leader would coordinate between different resources. The Generation Y appreciates a guiding leader more, somebody who helps guide people, not coordinate, but actually guide them. The Generation Z, an empowering leader, somebody who empowers people to do stuff, so not only guide, but gives them the ability to make decisions, take on responsibility. And finally, the leader, the Gen Alpha, and they're not in the workforce, but it kind of looks like they're looking for inspiring leadership, being inspired to do something. So that all makes these generations a little different. So if you want, we can jump right into the four generations in today's workspace. How about that? There's four generations in today's workplace. There's a diverse talent pool that leads to variety and varied needs and potential conflicts. Leadership must create an inclusive environment. So if you just heard those ways people like different leadership, Now you've got leadership that has to deal with all these different generations that have different views on how they want a leader, how they respond.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah, it's difficult.
So just get rid of three out of the four generations and focus on the one you want to keep.
But another way is also good in the way that you have different source. You have a new idea, old idea. So the balance we're talking about, the difference sometimes is good for the society. Like the show that we talked last week.
Yeah.
So be different generation in one meeting. If you have a good skill for leadership, you can have a good result.
Okay. I can go with that. And I can also go with that. You can have different leadership styles within a company. You can have direct to your direct reports, maybe the upper managers who may be a little bit more senior because they've been at the company longer. And then they may have to be more inclusive, coordinating, and inspiring to the people they work with. So you can have the leadership styles change as you have different levels within the organization.
Yeah.
Is that true? Okay. So let's look at some of the stereotypes here, that baby boomers are loyal, hardworking ladder climbers. They're resistant to new technology, but many are confident in using new technology. 36% said they are. That they value dedication and work ethic. So the point being that even though the stereotype is most don't like new technology, that there's a good group of them that are actually very accepting of it.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that that's any different in any generation. It's just the stereotype is that they don't, but you can stereotype any generation saying they don't like new technologies, and there'll be a group that doesn't within that generation. The percentages may change.
Yeah.
So there's always loads of exceptions. How about Gen X? What are some of the stereotypes there? They're cynical and detached from authority. They don't want to listen to anyone. They're slackers who avoid leadership roles. But the facts are 62% of business leaders today are Gen Xers. That means the majority, huh? Yeah, there you go. Strong leaders with balanced career aspirations. So the stereotypes of some Gen Xers is completely wrong because majority of business owners are Gen Xers. That's kind of interesting. How about millennials? They're entitled job hoppers. They need constant praise and quick rewards. But the fact is they seek meaningful work, not just constant change. And they're more focused on alignment with life goals than instant rewards. So I guess what may seem as a behavior that's one way, maybe they're trying to align their goals with their work. So their life goals are trying to be aligned with their work, and that may just appear to be, oh, they're not interested in doing this work. They may want to see how it aligns with their life, whereas maybe a different person feels differently. But I think if you say, generally speaking, people would love to do work that aligns with their life goals. Is that generally true?
In general.
No, that's everyone. A stereotype or generality?
Percent.
So let's continue on there. Did I hit Gen Z already? Here we go. Gen Z. I thought I hit the slide already. Social media obsessed and poor interpersonal skills. They're job hoppers with a short attention span. However, they are actually highly collaborative and pragmatic. They prefer in-person communication despite being tech savvy, which is interesting. So Gen Z would prefer to actually be in person to have communication, maybe social in a way, right? So even the facts seem to be a stereotype. I don't know. So what can you believe? I think the point is that for every stereotype, there is a counter. Like there are people of that, quote, group that actually prefer the opposite of what the stereotype is. And this is just meaning that people are diverse. They're diverse in their diversity. They can't be stereotyped. Everyone's an individual.
Yeah.
And as individuals, we have to see how can we interact and react with individuals. I think, and we talked about this at the beginning, we'll come back, we'll actually talk about this as soon as we're back with 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jay.
We're here at Inglenook at Francis Ford Coppola's new winery. Well, they've had it for a few years, but this is his library, books that he has read over the years that have accumulated in his knowledge and his ability to come up with amazing storylines, beautiful video edits, creativity of films unlike anyone else. Let's take a look at one of the books in his library. Here we have 90 Day Soulmate, How to Find Your Perfect Match in 90 Days by Lizette Guevara and Jim Gulnick.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Days Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about the generations, the various generations, and how they're seen as having issues with each other, and they're seen as stereotypes. And what we're finding out is that really they just need better communication between them. So let's go to something that we wanted to talk about. Aging versus generational differences is that many of the generational differences reflect actual natural changes with aging. Priorities may shift with life stages from career ambition to work-life balance. Tech savviness and adaptability evolve with time, not just with generation. So somebody may, you know, really want to learn technology, and someone else might say, you know what, I no longer feel aligned with that. I really don't want to spend the time to do that. I'd rather do this. So what can be seen as a negative drawback from technology could actually just be, you know what, I don't want to be bothered with that. I'd rather do this instead. And that can be at any age. You know, I know that there's a lot of people within companies that are really good with technology and others that just aren't as good. So, you know, you figure out what's the best role. Mm-hmm. So I think talking to the people probably give you the best feedback on where their strengths are and what they should be working with, not just a generalization based upon a grouping. So how do you bridge the generational gap? You recognize individual strengths, not the stereotypes. I think I just said that. Foster mentorship and reverse mentoring programs. Why not have somebody who is tech savvy work with somebody who's not as tech savvy? Encourage cross-generational collaboration and learning. Have somebody with one strength work with somebody with another strength and have them help each other out in the areas that they don't have as many strengths. Right?
Yeah.
What other things can we do? Adopt a flexible leadership style to cater to all age groups. You can work through the different ways people want to have a leader if you actually understand their preferences and what motivates them. Promote open communication and mutual respect. Build an inclusive culture that values all generations equally. Everybody has something to offer. Mm-hmm. Right? People want to feel valuable.
Yeah, but how about the communication thing, the change, the style of communication between generations?
I think that people have preferences for how they want to communicate, whether that's generational or just individual, that, you know, somebody wants to, like, I know, generally speaking, that sometimes people today may use, I texted them and I sent them an email, and I may be, why didn't you call them? You know, call them. And the other is that I may be, call them three times today. If they don't pick up, call them back. And by the way, this isn't like annoying in sales. This is like we're dealing with vendors who haven't returned a call on a very important supply. You don't just send an email and not hear from them. At least that's my view. Maybe someone else has a different view. But the point is that since email is so prevalent, since text message is so prevalent.
Yeah, so I hear some guy that they're joking about how is your age because you call directly before you send some text message before. It's like, I can call you.
Yeah.
So that is the brand.
True, too.
Yeah.
Are you around for me to call you? And some people think calls are more invasive than a text message or email. Mm-hmm. And they're actually more personable, too. Personable, both. And so you know that when you get on the phone, it's going to take a little while, and they have to talk to you then, where if you send an email or text message, they can do it when it's convenient for them to do it. So you can balance both of those, what makes sense. In an urgent situation, you may not be able to wait for an email to be responded to. You might have to find that person now. Mm-hmm. In a non-urgent situation, maybe it's better to get a lot of emails and text messages to many people rather than not connecting via phone. So maybe both are important. Finally, here are some tips for working with a diverse workforce. Leverage generational strengths. Look at the tech-savvy Gen Z, leadership-oriented Gen X, etc. If there are actually strengths, leverage them together. Tip 2, encourage intergenerational knowledge sharing and mentorship. Tip 3, promote flexibility in communication styles, in personal, digital, etc. And tip 4, create opportunities for collaboration that transcend age barriers. Look at the different generations and the diversity of those groups to give strength to your organization.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions.
The action antidote to anxiety, where action and anxiety can't exist in the same place at the same time. The action antidote to anxiety. We're going to go through the 5-step process of the action antidote. Step 1, do we want to talk about slide 1? Here's slide 1, actually. So today, We're going to discover a practical approach to solve many of these situations and challenges. The problem with thought. Most of our problems come from thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Overthinking, underthinking, wrong thinking, biased thinking, future thinking, past thinking, present thinking, right? But it's a problem is that our thoughts are what create most of our anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be what's actually happening. We may be misreading something that's going on at work because of how we feel. Or we haven't been as disciplined as we know we could be. And again, we're anxious because, one, maybe we're not getting the result. Or two, we see others who are more disciplined and we, again, feel like, oh, they're judging me. They don't know my situation. They don't know my family situation. They don't know my time constraints. They don't know I owe all this money on my student loans. I have car payments. And this stuff is just stressing me out. So let's think about thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
More so, thoughts can have a time frame. They can be the past. They can be the present. They can be the future. So we're able to travel in time in our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so we're not stuck in the now. We're not stuck in the reality of what's happening right now, right? In our thoughts. Our thoughts can be anywhere. But when we do that, our focus can be positive, negative, or neutral. So when we look at the future, look at the past, look at the present, we can be looking at it positively, negatively, or neutral, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we make judgments.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we can project, right? We project something rather than create an expectation that may be positive. We may project something negative that's going to happen.
Some people maybe is so positive or some people is so negative, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And these can, the unbalance can be neutral to see objective something.
So let's talk about two personality traits and how they impact thought. Conscientiousness and neuroticism. That with conscientiousness, we can feel we're responsible. We're responsible for what happened in the past. We're responsible for what's going to happen in the future. And we're responsible for what we are doing right now. Now, going back to neuroticism, that is where we're worrying and we're anxious and we're frozen. That when we are really neurotic, when we're very emotional about worry, you know, we're worried about what's going to happen in the future, we can freeze.
Mm-hmm. In the chemical way, when you are worried for something, you know, you create some chemical in your body. And we're talking about when I don't remember the name, but the chemical that activate when you are scared.
Okay.
And then if in the past you're scared, you run in because make energy and you escape. But we are right now in the life that you are scared in the office.
Oh.
And you're not running and then you start to accumulate all these.
So you live in an adrenaline society. Like you're scared, so you have adrenaline in you and it's creating nervousness. And the adrenaline starts your heart to beat more rapidly. It can create bad health situations.
Bad health situation because you have a long term in this scared.
So when you go to eat and you have adrenaline, your stomach doesn't want to digest the food, so you don't feel good.
Yeah.
It may change your body chemistry. Being in fear is not good.
Not healthy. Yeah.
Not healthy.
And people don't know maybe it's in fear because sometimes it's a soft fear. You don't want to use your job, that you don't want to use your relationship, that you don't want to lose, that your kid is growing well or bad. So you are this all worrying in your mind and create your own problem.
And then you can create the, not only can't I do anything about it, like I feel I'm a victim and I can't, but now you're frozen because you think maybe you don't know enough to do something about it. You don't have the time. You're stretched in so many different directions. Conscientiousness can help us deal with anxiety. That if you are present, be present. Be present in today, where you are, who you're with. Be connected to those people. Be connected to groups. Be connected to organizations. Be connected to your friends, your intimate partner.
Mm-hmm.
See, hear, touch, taste, and smell. Meaning, when you are connected to those things around you, focused on the now, it's hard to be worried about the future. In fact, when you start to, what is it called? When you start to smell the roses, there's a real impact. We can make change right now that affects the future, which we're going to talk about in a little bit as well.
And so the brain is other muscle that you need to train. Like you train your arm, you train your leg. You can train your muscle brain. And typically I recommend do the hour scan. So if you practice every day, like the 5 times per day, scan yourself right now. So how you smell? How is the temperature of the room?
Right.
How is your back in the chair? How is my hand moving? How is my face? So I am here right now.
Yes.
So doing this practice in the morning when you take a coffee, and the afternoon when you have the lunch, and you drive in your car, or you sitting to watch TV, and your brain start to learn, oh, I am here.
Do I need to put my phone down for this?
I guess.
Oops.
Yeah.
So that's something that I think as a society, we've all become more disconnected with what's going on right here and now because of our constant connection to our social group, to media.
Yeah, I have the experience that I was in the place waiting and 10 people sitting around me, and I just observed. And it's almost 10 minutes observing.
10 people in the same room and none of them connected to anybody in that room.
Nobody watching the face with anybody. Everybody's with the phone in the hand. I said, wow.
It's like the family who goes out to dinner and all the kids are there at the table and the husband and the wife or the partners, and no one's talking to each other. In fact,
and your brain is start to training like that. So when you remove that, you feel anxious. Mm. Oh my God, I disconnect. I need, so this is calm yourself because you have these.
Yeah, so it's a habit, huh?
It's a habit.
Yeah. It's like cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
It's the mental addiction, like a cigarette would be, both chemical and mental.
Yeah.
Well, the phone has become
addiction.
Addiction.
It's addiction, yeah.
Hmm. Don't worry, though. It's not that bad. Or is it?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? One other thing that we had on here was, you cannot both be worried about the future and intensely aware of the present. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. That you can't both be worried about the future and intensely aware of the present. That if you're focused on the present and everything that's going on, it removes the worry of the future.
Yeah.
It's like distraction.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's called a positive distraction. Distract yourself into things that are good for you. And we have to learn to do that.
Yeah.
But it's going from the frozen to going, you know what? This is when you become brave. This is like the definition of being brave, is that you're going to act despite that you may have anxiety or fear. You're going to do it. And the more you do it, the more that self-efficacy kicks in. You feel, hey, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And you build. And this is what you're built for. You as an organism, we as organisms, we're built to grow. I can be worried about this, or I can go, how do I do something different to try to do something now, because I only have control of now, to get a different result. The difference between action and thought.
Mm-hmm.
Thought gets us in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Action gets us out of trouble. Thought is timeless. You project or reflect on the past, the present, the future. Meaning thought can be anywhere. You can be thinking about things that happened. You can project things that are going to happen. You can reflect. But again, because it's timeless, your body will react like it's real, even though you're just imagining it.
Mm.
Action is only possible right now. You can stand, you can sit, you can run, you can eat, you can only do it right now. You can read, you can take notes, you can study, you can create new information. And when you do that, you are changing yourself, whether it's physically or mentally.
Mm-hmm.
So action is the only way you can change yourself. It's hard to think and act at the same time. It's hard to have two thoughts in your head at the same time. Active participation in life equals mental, physical, and spiritual growth. It's a chance for change. The three steps, what you can do, how you can move forward. Start today. Embrace the journey of action as your antidote. connect as part of this action, engage with a supportive community or therapist to maximize your journey. The more you connect with like-minded individuals, the more you will be distracted and grow happily in the direction you want. Consistency. We talked about discipline. Remember, consistent action not only reduces anxiety, but also builds a foundation for a fulfilled life. Thank you for listening to us on our actionable show, Action, the Antidote to Anxiety. I'm really excited about this. This was something that was fun, huh?
Yes, it was more fun. Energy.
We learned. We hope you learned. And have yourself a great week.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.